We gather this afternoon, we gather in celebration of life. And we know that Kathy is watching over us. She is with God. We celebrate her life and the life she has lived with you as a family, as a church, as a people. And we indeed are honored to be here for this celebration. There's a scripture in Psalm 23. There's many times I have shared this psalm, but today it has particular meaning because it helps me to see how important our journey is with God. The scripture reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen." Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we gather here at this time, we gather with our hearts indeed. Our hearts indeed are experiencing emotions. We are seeing the truth of love and what it means. We know that love has won the day. We know that hope is present. We know that faith abides. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to express this love, even though in this circumstance it is difficult, but we know your presence is here. We ask you be with this family. Will you put your arms around them and comfort them and let them know that indeed your grace is sufficient and your love is enough. And bless this worship service, every element of it, from the choir as it sings to our congregational hymns to the prayers and yes to the word as it is proclaimed. In Jesus' holy, sweet name we pray. Amen.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
I stay in the garden with him.
what words can be said. So many, in fact, a whole lifetime of words, understanding the relationship, a beautiful lady, wonderful wife, a wonderful mother, wonderful sister, a wonderful grandmother, wonderful friend. Yesterday, I've known Kathy, of course, since I have come to Spring Hill. But there's a story from yesterday that encapsulates, I think, this moment, and it helps us to look at so what God is doing. You will notice the spread was the quilt, and there's a note in your bulletin, a special note, this quilt, 5445, is draped here today. It was quilted, so by Miss Kathy. And the story that I heard yesterday, and this is a family of stories. They can tell the tales, and that's a good thing. But yesterday, the story was that Danny and Norwood, they got left, and Kathy and Carolyn took off to the state fair. And at the state fair, they went to the, I guess, display of yesteryear. And in the display was, this pattern that is named 5445, which I'm a history person, so I had to do more research on that. I had heard it, but didn't quite remember it. And it's a slogan from the 1844 presidential campaign from a presidential candidate, Polk. Of course, Polk is from North Carolina. And the whole reason for, the quote that he gave in the campaign was to expand America. They were looking at adding just the area of Texas, the area of Oregon, the entire West, and even parts of California. And he won that election, and he used that. But that's not the important thing here today. That's just a little background. The thing is that Miss Kathy, she saw this pattern. And she didn't take a picture. There weren't cell phones, I don't believe, at that time to be used in that way with cameras. And she just put it in her head. And she came back and she made it from what she remembered. And from what I know of her and what I've heard, but also what I've experienced personally, she's an artist. In the back, you'll see just a picture of the grandparents' home. And the detail on the tin roof is incredible. She had an ability to see detail in life. And that's what I heard yesterday in this story, the ability to see and impress a memory on her mind that then she made real. And that's you guys. That's you as a family. For you are part of her work. She has seen the detail in you and the pattern of being a sister, being just a loving wife, being a wonderful mother, being a marvelous grandmother. And she's taking those details and she's pressed them upon you in an artistic way of real life. And that real life that she's done it through isn't through a philosophy or a teaching, it's through practice. It's through canning 1,000 mason jars of corn, I believe is what I heard. Maybe that may be an embellishment, but it may not be. I don't know. But it's just part of Miss Kathy. First time I met Miss Kathy was in the hospital. I've known her through this phase of her life. And understand, this is not the phase of her life to look at her through. We need to see her through the image of the beautiful young lady that you married, Danny, and the love you have for her and the love she has for you. It's important in life, I think, that we recognize that we each are special in the sight of God. And this family has an abiding deep love. They are able to see that and do that in the ways that they relate to each other. I will say that it did come unexpected. She has not been doing well, and I did not expect to get the call so at midnight on Christmas Eve, just from Daniel. It came as a total shock. And the family has had to carry a heavy burden here these few days, but they have been running a race and fighting a fight. And the fight they fight is not against, it's for God. When I first moved to Spring Hill, and I've lived a lot of places from the mountains to the coast in North Carolina and traveled all over in ministry and doing the things God had me do through 32 years, the first thing I noticed about this place was that this place is different. Yeah, and it may be the location, it may be the environment, but this place has a great connection to family. This is a family place. This church is a family church. There's no doubt she served in so many capacities in this church, faithfully, and even brought you, Danny, here. And thank God for you and your family. But this place is also a place of faith. There is an Ebenezer about this place. Ebenezer is an Old Testament it's a reference to God's presence. And when the children of Israel traveled, when they encountered a holy moment, the priest, the Levites, would create an Ebenezer or a touchstone that then people could go back and say, this is where God reached out and touched us. And Spring Hill is such a place. It is an Ebenezer where God reaches out and touches us. But it's also a place of fellowship. And you can tell a lot about people when they go through the valley of the shadow of death that I just read about in Psalm 23. You can tell a lot about a family. You can tell a lot about a community. And I can tell you that this faith has not wavered. This family has not broken. And this place has not faded. God has created a wonderful fellowship of love. Each one of you have stories. You have stories of Kathy's part of your life. And I challenge you to remember how she influenced you as an artist looks upon a canvas. And what has she painted on your life that you need to see? Perhaps it's a gentle strength. Perhaps it's a moment of hope. Perhaps it's a kind word. Perhaps it's the presence of a good friend. Perhaps it's holding a grandchild with the greatest of care. We are all the work not only of God's hands, we are the work of our mothers and our fathers and those that love us. There's so many words that could be said. These are the words that I share as a personal remark today. This is a scripture that I have used in the past for such occasions, but today in particular, after discussing with the family and listening to the stories and knowing Miss Kathy in the way that I do, I thought we would turn to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and look at this wonderful scripture that our brother Paul writes to the church in Corinth, the early church, to help them deal with life and to deal with the faith that they have in the way that God is leading them. And it says, and if I speak in the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I am only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know, just be known fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to see the pathway you have made through the scripture for us to find the hope that we have here today. Let us know that faith is the first step, and it gives us the hope to know that you are with us on this journey, that we can reach the destination of being with you and those we love in the cloud of witnesses. Lord, we pray this journey continues in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was a few weeks ago, I was able to go over to Southern Pines, and when I was there, Miss Kathy wanted me to know something. She said, I want you to know that I prayed, Jesus, help me. And I said, good. And she said, no, I prayed this 500 times, she said. And I said, very good. And and she said, and I needed every one of them. And of course, as a preacher, I'm always writing sermons. So on the way back from the hospital, I wrote like two or three sermons out of that visit that you guys are going to get to hear, and they'll be Miss Kathy's sermons. Because I got a good one on that that I can't wait to share. But today's not about that. Today is about what she did that day. She pressed upon me something that I needed to hear, and I needed to hear it for this moment. She prayed that the Lord help her, which means that deep down within, God's kingdom was drawing close to her. And even though outwardly and consciously we may not be aware, spiritually we are if we're part of the faith. And she was doing that also to help prepare the family and prepare the church and community, that the time was drawing close. In this scripture, I consider it the moment that Paul, his faith really, it became him, and he became the faith. I consider it the moment that he shared what he believes, and it's not bound by anything of this earth. And he talks about that, and he talks about having the tongues of the world. But he says, what we're about is not this world. We're about something more. Now, to me, for those that know me, you know I'm always looking for a pattern in something. And this scripture has a clear pattern of faith, hope, and love. And faith is that step into a journey. Hope is what holds us, you know, together in the journey. And love is what sees us home. And I think back to the early days with the family, as she grew up here in this community, and how her journey has been a part of this community, in particular this church, and then of course when Danny coming alongside in the covenant relationship, and this is a wonderful love that this moment cannot separate. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. And grandchildren, I know that your grandmother, she loves you so much. The thing that happened when my mother passed, this is for the grandchildren, is I had an emptiness for a while. And it dawned on me one day that every time I said a prayer, my mother was standing near Jesus. So whenever I pray, my mama's right over there. And she's listening in on my prayer. And she's saying, he's a good boy. Take care of him, Lord. I notice what she's saying. But she's also saying, you're going to have to be straight with him now. So grandchildren, she is with you that close. Yeah, there's emotions and there's sorrow, but that'll pass. But what remains is knowing we shall see her again. This is not goodbye. That's what the world has. The world can keep having it all it wants to. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in eternal life. I believe Jesus is the key to the eternal kingdom. I believe that faith gets us there. I believe that hope holds us there, and I believe love binds us there. And that's the pattern that we have in this scripture. And he talks about how God works. It says, love is patient. Now, Miss Kathy, since she's an artist and she sees the detail and she paints, one of the key ingredients of that is patience. Now, this the family didn't tell me, but I know it from having known her to a degree, but her patience of being able to see the detail and then being able to live that out in life. Love is patient. Love is kind. I tell you the truth, being sick can be hard. But I've never met a kinder woman in my life who's been going through a hard time. Her kindness when she would be at the men's club. Understand we have a men's club here and we invite all men to be a part of it. We like to be fed as part of the men's club. And there's been a many a time that Miss Kathy and Miss Alpha and the other beautiful ladies of the church have provided wonderful meals and her kindness to us. It continues and it says it does not envy. The reason we do not have to envy is we have what we need. Nobody can take away what you have. You've been given love, you've been given life, and you've been given purpose. It describes it in a way that it's not proud. Now, pride and being proud are two different things. I am proud, which means I'm full of pride for my children. But we should never be full of proudness in our own self. And Miss Kathy's life was one of humility, of strength. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Now, I've done services for some families who have dispositions where they're easily angered. But I think this family, from what I've seen, what they do is they take that emotion and they go out there and fix the tractor and then get Miss Kathy to come and look at the paint job to make sure it's done right because she can see something that you guys didn't see, right? She takes what we have in life and makes it into what it should be and it could be and what it is in Christ. Love does not it does not delight in the way of the world, but it rejoices in truth. And it always protects, always trusts, always hopes. And here's the key, which is the one of hope. It always perseveres. One of the hardest walks you'll ever have in your life is if they call you to the hospital. And also when you walk in the door of a church for a service for those you love. It's one of the hardest walks of life. Because you walk in and your body is saying, is this the end? But your mind and your spirit is saying there's a lot more. My love didn't stop. It keeps going, and it's going to go on forever. And who gives us that hope is that Christ helps us to persevere. And so Paul is saying that helps love to never fail, and love has let no one down today. We said goodbye to a lot of people in this church this year. And as a pastor, I have to be objective. But I don't. I just have to be me and who God has called to do this. In love, it never fails. So this is what my prayer is for the family. You take this moment and press it into your life and know that now her journey is complete. She is with God. There's no doubt. There's no question of the theology and the teachings of that. She was faithful. She was a life member of this church. She had perfect attendance for how many years? 20, how many years, Daniel? 23 or 22, 21? See, what we used to do in Methodism is we gave a medal and people would come to church with medals hanging all the way down, you know, their chest. And she held the record, I believe. She had perfect attendance. And see, that means that when she's already been with God, God's going, you're done good now. We're going to have a nice place for you. And that's where it is now. And where her focus is you and us. She wants us to be with her where she is, where love cannot be placed in a difficult position. See, this is what it means when he's saying, I used to be a child, but now I'm a man. But even now, even though I know these things, I still can't see them clearly. They're like a mirror that's darkened. But I will know fully. I will know completely, Paul is saying, when I come face to face. My prayer is that when I get to heaven and I am going, that's not because of one teaching or another, it's because I love Jesus. When I get to heaven, the first place I'm running is to the Lord. And I'm going to fall at his feet. And then those that are around me and have been a part of my life, they will embrace me. And I will be home. Miss Kathy is home. I hope your journey is in the same direction. And I know it is. Because you are here. And she's imprinting that hope in your life. She's painting that portrait for us. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Dear Lord, will you bless the family today? Bless each member. You bless Danny. You bless Daniel and wife Nikki. Will you bless Holly and husband Stephen? Lord, will you bless Carolyn and Norwood? Will you bless Mickey and Francis? Will you bless Christopher and Shelby Kate, Dana Ray, and Everly Claire? We bless all the family in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we'll have a congregational hymn as the family goes out, a recessional hymn on page 364. It's Because He Lives. I invite you to